Welcome to another World Cafe Words and Music podcast from WXPN and NPR Music. I'm David Dye. Meet Lissy, our guest today on the World Cafe. The singer-songwriter is originally from Rock Island, Illinois, released her self-titled first EP in 2007, a very popular follow-up EP in 2009, and over the summer, her full-length debut called Catching a Tiger. Today's set was recorded in front of an audience at World Cafe Live and begins with her new song, When I'm Alone. Great way to start. Lissy is playing live for us today on the cafe. And before we go any further, you got to introduce this band. I think the rhythm section has particularly got a nice pocket.
Mm. Yes, well, believe it or not, for those of you out there listening and can't see him, the bass player is also playing kick drum, hi-hat, and snare, and singing. Give it up for Lewis Keller. And on guitar, we have the amazing Eric Sullivan.
Sounds great. I'm glad you could be here, because we actually had to postpone this. You had some voice troubles.
Yeah, I mean, well, we've been on tour for like a year and a half now, and we'd really been looking forward to coming back to the States. And in October, you know, we did, and we hadn't been here in a while. So, you know, the people I work with who are awesome and mean well, but I basically was getting up at 5 a.m. Singing all day, singing all night, you know, getting to bed at 2 in the morning, getting up at 5 a.m., you know, doing that day after day after day. And I actually lost a family member, passed away, and I went home for the funeral. And when I got back to Denver after the funeral, I opened my mouth and nothing came out. And I there was no voice there. So I had to not talk for a week. And it was actually kind of nice.
Was
it hard, but...
Was it scary at first? Were you worried about it? Or
I was, you know, I worry about it. But I think, you know, you got to find a balance in life. I think... You know, I have a belting voice, and I don't live a crazy lifestyle, but, you know, I don't want to have to, like, never be able to talk and have to hide myself away in a room with a humidifier constantly. So I just have to find, you know, the balance and what kind of career I want to have and, you know, what I'm willing to do for it, I guess. But my voice is better. Now I've got some kind of, like, flu cough thing, though. So, you know, it's always something, it kind of seems like, but...
Yeah, well, it's got a nice character. It sounds good.
Thanks.
You know, I met you when While You're Running came out, and, you know, I said, wow, an indie artist, this is really great. So I happened to be in London when your album came out over there, and you go down the escalator in the tube, and there is a zillion Lizzie posters everywhere.
Yeah,
and it's
so
like,
cool.
Whoa, you know, you are kind of in a different position. You're kind of like an indie artist on a major label. And how do you sit with that?
I mean, I sit well with it all. You know, I'm signed to the Columbia in the UK, and they, you know, gave me a good push and a lot of support for my album coming out there. And here I'm on an indie label in the US, and, you know, the way I'm going about things is a bit more grassroots and, you know, from the ground up. And I'm okay with all of it. I mean, I don't really know what else to say than that. I mean, I kind of compare it to, like, you know, even in high school, it was like I was friends with the preppy kids and the freaky kids, you know, I think, and I wasn't really either of them. So I just sort of think that I am doing what feels right to me, and any help I can get is great. And, you know, there's no, like, pretentiousness about it. So hopefully people either like it and get on board, or they don't, and that's fine too. But, you know, it was nice to sort of be a bit, you know, of like a big deal overseas, which was funny. It was nice too, because then when we came home, it was like... We could relax.
Okay, well, we'll try to kind of make it even more spread out. When I ask you what music is most influential to you, because when you were here last time, you did a Hank Williams cover. Since then, there's a video of a Metallica cover. You've even done a Lady Gaga cover.
Yeah.
So what music do you think growing up was most influential to you?
You know, that's always a hard question, because I think what really started me in music was musical theater. And, you know, that idea of singing your life, you know, being very... you know, theatrical and it being an entertainer. And but I kind of grew out of that as well. And, you know, when I started playing guitar when I was 14, you know, I loved Sarah McLachlan and Fiona Apple and Liz Phair. And there were all these female artists, you know, that I kind of briefly loved because I felt inspired by them that, hey, I can do this too. But now, I mean, really the majority of the music that I listen to is really like not what I sound like. And it's really all over the board. So, like, you know, as a band, you know, we love the Grateful Dead. I love Fish, and I have since I was in high school. You know, I love Crosby, Stills, and Nash and Bob Dylan, but I also, you know, like Dr. Dre and Jay-Z. And, you know, it's hard for me to really kind of pinpoint what the main influence is, because, you know, I've been through my country phase, my rap phase, my musical theater phase, my even a little bit of like a drum and bass electronic phase. So I think I just like a good story and a good voice and a good melody.
Well, some great songs on Catching a Tiger. Were these all written when you went into the studio in Nashville?
Just before it. I guess the album came out, what, in June or August here of 2010. So probably like about 2 years prior to that, I was writing a lot. And, you know, all the songs were pretty much done when I went to Nashville. There was one of them, Worried About, that I sort of finished while I was there. But mostly, like, I had them ready to go because I didn't want to get there and not have enough material.
Well, I was looking at the set list, and you're going to do one of my favorites, Bully. Is there a story behind this one?
You know, there is. I lived in L.A. for 5 years. You know, I grew up in the Midwest, in Rock Island, Illinois, and traveled a bit, and then, you know, went to Hollywood to, like, be a singer and didn't know anybody, and ended up having a great time in Hollywood, made some good friends, had a good community of musicians I hung with. But after about 5 years, it was just really obvious that my, like, soul needed a break and that I needed a backyard, you know, so I moved to a town called Ojai, which is just north of L.A., but it's a small town. And the minute I got there, it was like my entire outlook on life changed. My priorities, my, you know, I was being very calm and staying in and, you know, just really taking good care of myself. And so this song, Bully, it was like sort of this reaction. I'd had like a bit of a hard time in the end of my Hollywood experience. And, you know, I was being hard on myself and I was sort of depressed and, you know, it just wasn't a good time. And after I moved, I sort of was able to sort of observe my thoughts more as like an outsider and see, you know, these are the rules to sort of live by. So it's sort of like a more mature me telling a younger, more fragile me something. You know what I mean? So, yeah.
This is Bully.
Catching a tiger, baiting a bully. Was this my idea? It a mistake? Why did you take me here? Am I too far from home? Am I really all alone? Walk, child, don't run. Off and have fun, we'll be waiting. Just look before you cross, take love with the loss. I know it's frustrating, but mama's here and your papa too, and we are so darn proud of you. Mama's here and your papa too, and we are so darn proud of you, proud of you, proud. Intention, pride, disrestraint, yeah. Find out what matters. I know your heart's been broken, but mine's never open. No, horse, the world is yours. Carry this torch and use your voice. Thank you.
Lissy, our guest today on the World Cafe, and we're hearing some music from Catching a Tiger, the debut full length, which was put together with, you worked with a bunch of people. You worked with Bill Reynolds, Band of Horses, and you worked with Jakir King.
Mm-hmm.
In two different things. And it's amazing how solidified the album sounds. It's very cool. It works out. They you must play well with others, and they play well together too. So
yeah, no, it was nice. I think it was sort of just, you know, that 2 year period too. A lot of it, you know, it was part of a true story about what I'd been going through for 2 years. So, you know, even though some of the production was slightly different, there was the spirit behind it was very, you know, unified. And I never like worked with Bill and Jakir at the same time. It was like we kind of were all separately working together. And then at the end, it was like, oh, wow, these like 12 songs sound so good together. So,
well, it's funny. I wrote down a bunch of places here that I wanted to talk about, and L.A. was one of them. But, and we haven't talked that much about Rock Island. Talked about singing in Annie, which I'm sure was influential.
Yeah.
Was that more influential than being kicked out of high school?
They were both like, you know, they were both sort of similar. I mean, look at Annie. She was a little feisty little thing. And I feel like I related to her energy. I mean, obviously I wasn't orphaned, but you know, that sort of like defiance and ability to stick up for what's right, even though you're a kid and everyone acts like you don't know what's going on and you have no room to like have an opinion. You know, I don't go too into depth about the getting kicked out of high school thing anymore, just because, I don't know, it just seems like it's in the past. Obviously, I made a mistake, but, you know, I always sort of talked back, and it wasn't for not. It wasn't for, like, no reason. It was because there were times where I literally was given, you know, given some crap from some adults, and they were doing things that no authority figure should do to, like, a kid, and I wasn't going to sit and take it. I was going to say, like, that's not how this works. Like, I'm a human being, okay? And I would get in trouble for talking back, and, you know, I was sassy, I guess. But really, I just sort of, they made an example out of me or something. So that sort of defiance that Annie had, I had as a senior in high school as well.
Well, we started out talking about the EP, and there's a couple songs from that EP that made its way onto the full length as well. And there's also some, the first song we had a chance to hear from was this song called In Sleep, which is just a fantastic song. And how did that one come together?
That one, well, I did some co-writing, which was new for me. I went to London and spent, like, you know, almost a month there on my own, you know, totally not knowing what was going on. But went there and met with some different songwriters. And these guys, Jim Mervin and Julian Emery, who I ended up having a great creative relationship with, you know, they just sort of, like, Julian would start playing some chords. And just in the way that I felt comfortable with them, even though I hardly knew them, you know, the melody and, like, a good bit of the lyric would sort of, like, kind of come just naturally. And then we'd sort of then go over it and over it. And Jim, who was there, would sort of, like, if I started getting lazy on the lyrics, he'd be like, okay, I think you can explain that better. Hmm. And so I'd sort of be like, okay. And so I'd write more and more lyrics and just sort of make sure they were just right. But the idea behind it, you know, is, like, you know, when I left LA, I was pretty much feeling that way. I'd gone through a breakup, and it was really hard for me to get up and feel excited about the day, you know, because I was grieving this loss of a relationship and, you know, like a family member in a way, it felt like. And the only place I could really see him and talk to him was, like, you know, I'd have these dreams that we were, like, together and everything was good and we were happy and my life was great. And then I'd wake up and be like, oh my God, how am I going to face the day, you know? So that's basically what it's about, but I also think it's sort of vague enough that people can now take it and make their own relationship to it. But it was just born from that feeling of, like, losing someone that you love.
Totally. Well, this is In Sleep, Lissy, our guest today on the cafe.
Such a bad Thank you.
A big thanks to Lissy and his great band today.
Thank you for having me and for having us. It's great.
And thanks to our audience at World Cafe Live as well. Lissy, our guest today on the World Cafe. World Cafe Words and Music from WXPN and NPR Music is produced at WXPN in Philadelphia at xpn.org. Thank you for spending your time here with the World Cafe.